This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Week 13 victory against the Houston Texans by a final score of 27-14. I'm joined by Brad Ward and Jake Burns to help me break it down. The debut of Deshaun Watson, not what some of us were expecting in terms of fireworks. Certainly, keeping the team without an offensive touchdown for a game is not something that I thought I would see the Houston Texans do today. But on the other hand, you know, it was a fairly comfortable win against a Texans team that really does look dead set on the first overall pick. So I think some frustration, some disappointment, but also some satisfaction that the Browns now have a two-game winning streak for the first time this season. So I'll ask you, Jake, off the bat, tell me how to feel about this.
I think it was an outcome that was always in the realm of possibility in terms of Watson's play. Like, again, all the obvious stuff, 700 days away, you can have as many practice reps as you want, but given everything around him, how he felt, you know, for fair or unfair, you know, he felt the world collapse on him, right? Everything in his personal life, everything professionally, kind of, you know, the opinion of people, like him coming out and playing that way was not unexpected. It shouldn't have been. There were a lot of folks who thought he was going to put up big numbers. And, you know, I think there were opportunities for him to put up some numbers in this game. Not a ton. I think they were very conservative with him, but he looked like a guy who was extremely nervous. How am I going to be perceived? How is it all going to feel when there are people on top of me in a stadium? There's a lot of stuff there, and he didn't look good. There's no, you know, there's not any sugarcoating it. Like, a lot of oddly low throws. He felt very jittery in the pocket, very duck the eyes and move around. And some of that is how he plays. Some of it is he will drop the eyes to escape pressure and then re-engage and get downfield. But he wasn't very good, but it's not surprising to me. It really wasn't surprising to me. They put a few little schematic wrinkles in to make him feel a bit more comfortable, but he didn't hit on some of the throws they needed, but he wasn't very good. But again, you talk about positives. The defense was really good, man, really good. They stepped up. We'll go over the stats here in a little bit, but they played well. They created turnovers from the very first play to the very end of the game, created turnovers, forced punts, forced field goals on drives that got down toward the end zone, created a stop near the goal line. Tons of positives, and the special teams giving the Browns a net positive play in a time of need, down 5-0, and really not moving the football at all. For Donovan Peoples-Jones to break that play was fantastic. So, you know, you can be as negative about Watson as you want, but I think you have to look at a bunch of the positive stuff here, which is defense played well, special teams provided a boost, and the offense, well, I mean, you know, we either come or it won't come. They're 5-7, you know, they're was this an experiment to end the year? Yeah, maybe they have an outside shot at the playoffs, but to me, it's a very massive experiment at the end of the year. But I could tell you on a scale of, like, people were tilting before and after the game. Before the game, one side or the other. Oh, he's going to come out firing, or he's going to be really rusty. He was really rusty. I mean, no more evident by the – he had a false start on himself under center where he bailed out from under center thinking the snap count was that, and it wasn't, and everybody's like, okay. So just a ton, man. And again – it's a new role for this guy. He's been universally loved all the time. And now he is a bit of the, but he's the enemy. He's the NFL is enemy. The only people that are harboring positive feelings for him as a larger group are Cleveland Browns fans. So he's got to get used to that. He's got to get used to everything moving around him at a quick pace. Again, you can go in shirt and shorts and throw in a gym all you want, throw in a turf field all you want. It's not the same as when there's 11 bullets on the other side chasing after you doing schematic wrinkles. So I'm not surprised. I don't think we should all feel panicked. Maybe not as optimistic about where this offense would be by the end of this year. Maybe it changes our expectations moving forward, but there's so much positive to still take from this game. Andrew, Brad, what'd you think?
You said it well. I mean, you know, there was definitely a non-zero chance that this was one of the outcomes, right? Like, this was definitely a possibility that he came out and just didn't look right. And he looked rushed, like you said. Like, even his delivery, which is a much faster delivery than we're used to with Jacoby Brissett. It was more, it's kind of a more elongated delivery. But even his short, compact, quick delivery looked fast. And at times almost seemed like he was spiking it in the ground because of that, right? Because it was just so fast. Mm-hmm. This whole thing, you know, when I made the checklist last night for this, the whole thing was about speed of the game, right? Like, he can spend all the time he spent replicating plays, but missing this much time, getting reacclimated with the speed of a real NFL game on Sunday or Thursday or Monday night, right, is going to be different, and it's going to be hard, and it's going to take a little bit of time. So I think this was, like Jake said, in the realm of outcomes, and I don't think that we should feel bad about it. It wasn't pretty at all. It was a very strange game. You know, I see a lot of people saying the defense played really well. I guess. I mean, they got a lot of turnovers, right? But I don't necessarily think they played like fantastic. But yeah, they got the turnovers, took advantage, opportunistic, took the ball away. But I wouldn't say it was like a world beating defensive effort. But you know, the Texans really give you a lot of chances, right? I mean, they mm-hmm. just kind of they gave 7 points to you down there, and very conservative. It kind of is what we said, right? Like, take some hits, get the rust off, lead, get in and out of the, you know, go through the game day operations, lead your team, kneel down at the end and win the game. And that's like, okay, good. That's what happened. Didn't have to be pretty, didn't have to look great, but he played and they won, and hope is still alive, so move on to the next week.
Yeah, I said it after the John Johnson interception to start the game. I said on Twitter that the Browns haven't had the balls bounce their way all year, and literally the first play of the game, the defense has one just dropped into their hands by a very strange drop pass by a rookie tight end for the Texans, whose name I do not remember. And then, you know, the Tony Fields pass deflection that ends up landing in his hands and he walks in. The Denzel Ward, you know, where it's fumbled and he's able to pick it up and walk in uncontested. You know, that's three bounces of the ball that so far this season, I don't think that the Browns have gotten those kinds of bounces at all at any point, let alone all three in one game. And it's so funny how this game works, that when your season's going bad, those things just seem to find you. And the Texans are having one of those seasons. It makes a lot of sense why there's no fans left in the stadium, because they played some very bad football today. And I think, to your point, Brad, the offense of the Texans was much more generous with the Browns defense than the Browns defense was, sort of dominant in any sense. But that was how they were 2 years ago in 2020. They had turnover luck, and that, I think, masked a lot of the schematic issues with the Joe Woods defense that have kind of always been there. So, I keep coming back to the idea that they scored 3 points on offense. And when you factor in the fact that they gave up a safety, they're net positive 1 point for the game on offense, and they still won pretty easily. So it's a weird time for them to have that game, but it's also a good time for them to have that game, because it's probably the worst game the offense will play all season.
Yeah, and where were those breaks? It feels like we got the whole season's worth of breaks in one game that we didn't need them all. So
I would have taken one of those against the Falcons or the Chargers.
Yeah, where were those bounces?
Patriots. Well, I don't know what would have helped that, but yeah, it definitely, the luck arrow has swung around, and I think we saw a little bit of it last week against Tampa Bay too. To be honest, that there were some decisions by the Tampa Bay coaching staff, but also some bounces of the ball that went the Browns' way last week. And that's, if that stuff starts to even out, it doesn't make the Browns a good team, but it makes them a lot more capable in one score games than they have looked so far this year. So it's a win that you have to be happy with. Like we said, it's a winning streak. And so now you look at a big game next week in Cincinnati, a team that is about to kick it off against the, or just did kick it off against the Chiefs here. So Jake, I want to go back to you for, I know that you kind of gave me your overall thoughts on Watson, and you know, he looked panicked and at times was dropping his eyes, but there was also a few good throws that kind of showed the things that he has done in his career, the quick processing, the quick release, and you know, pinpoint accuracy at times. So he definitely showed rust and was not the quarterback that we were kind of hoping to see, but also some glimmers of hope in there that give you an idea that he could still be the guy that he showed he was.
Yeah, a couple throws. He had a dig that was a nice throw on a third down. A couple of little RPO wrinkles, I think, were working out. They didn't get much of a flow. It felt like the Texans played up front on the opposite side of the line of scrimmage than Cleveland did. So that continues to be a problem. And
yes,
you know, quarterback can really mask that all too much. The Bengals did go down and score on their opening drive touchdown. So yeah, I mean, to me, again, I think that he had a nice little play action over route throw in the first half there, but there just wasn't a ton. He had a couple of a third down slant. I mean, I don't think I've seen a more conservative approach. They really didn't put much in his lap. And, you know, once they started to collect some turnovers and those two fortuitous touchdowns that they were able to find, I think Kevin was quite all right with not going crazy. And, you know, there's examples of where they're still, you know, he doesn't want to put too much in his lap. But I think you could tell early, you know, Brad, you just said something that was really enlightening too, which is something I wanted to point on, you know, the low throws and stuff like that. Like, whenever your body is sped up as a quarterback and your arm is beating your back hip through, you're going to spike the ball. It's a whole bunch of everything was moving quick for him, and he wanted to do it. And that results in mistakes. That results in I'm going to be honest. I don't even think he saw Petrie on the interception. Like, think Petrie's jersey is going to seem stupid, but I swear to God, it happens more than people want to talk about. The uniform of the Texans is all blue. That end zone was all blue, and sometimes that can mess with your depth perception. I don't even think he saw him, but it was, you know, he's got to see him. That's the point. But like, there's just some stuff there. I'm not concerned about it. I need six full games to see where he is. There's going to be rust. The Browns didn't, you know, I think that there's something. I'll probably talk about this another time. But like, you know, it's not like, I don't think anybody should expect someone to take 2 years off and come back and just dominate football. I mean, even the longest tenured veterans, there have been some guys who have done this. Peyton Manning's neck fusion, right? Peyton was a little better, obviously, in his first game with Denver. But there's some examples of veterans taking these really long breaks and coming back and playing. And, you know, people want to feel vindicated and they want to hate him. And that's fine. That's your prerogative. And you can love that interception and love the spike throw there. But, you know, I think that, you know, Watson is only done so much. You got to think, like, there's a baseline playbook at the beginning of the year. They're obviously putting these things in throughout the year. The offense adjusts from the beginning of the year to week 11. It adjusts so much. And you can look at the film in the quarterback room with all the other guys. You know, you got a reminder, he wasn't even there the first, 8 weeks? He wasn't even in the building, period. He's doing it on his own. There's just a lot. There's a lot of changes. There's a lot of change to verbiage sometimes in the season, how you go about it. So, I mean, I'm not trying to make excuses for the guy. He didn't play very well, but I'm just sitting here like, what were your expectations? If they were 300 yards and three touchdowns, like, I didn't think that was going to be the case for him. I just really didn't. So, you know, that to me was not completely unexpected, but he needs to be better. There's no doubt. He's got to be better the rest of the way. And then obviously hit the ground running in 2023. But this isn't a game where I leave panicked because, you know, this is his first game in a while. And there's a lot of moving parts here, but they have got to find a game plan he's comfortable with and he can execute, because Cincinnati's good. They want payback. They're good. Especially if they go ahead and finish and are able to somehow beat Kansas City. They're fighting with Baltimore at the top of the division, two straight division leading teams. And obviously Baltimore is one of the better defenses at times, especially taking the runaway and making the quarterback beat you. So Watson will have to do things. They cannot play a game plan in the future here, afraid of sort of what is he able to handle and what's he not. You have to find things he can handle here at the start of the year. But again, I don't think I can say it enough. When you haven't played and you're taking bullets, like for the first time, live game speed, crowd noise, all of it. And reminder, 2020, last time he played, right? No crowds. This is his first game in front of a crowd in a long time. So there's a lot to that. There's a lot going on. You know, like I said, I'm not worried about it, but there's just a lot here that people weren't thinking about necessarily.
I was going to say, another thing that didn't really help this situation, and it's not an excuse, but this was just a really bizarre game from the beginning. So you get his first completion fumbled, right? You know, Jake already talked about the pass where I don't think he saw Petrie either, and he just kind of curled off his route, you know, to float back into the – I mean, it was a nice play by him, but it looked like he didn't see him at all. And, you know, that was going to be probably a scoring drive there that he led, right, with a couple nice completions in it. And, yeah, I mean, even like the throw to Donovan Peoples-Jones on the sideline, it was like he was 2 feet from him and he missiled it into his chest. like you know, he was just over –
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Should you ever set foot outside of the motel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow, now streaming on Paramount Plus, only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.
Too fast. Everything was too fast. And and just like when you get drafted, right, from college, and quarterbacks say the game has to slow down for me, right? You know, that's like the first thing they say when they start to get it is the game's slowing down for me. I think you're probably going to have to go through a little bit of a mini phase of that with him being out as long as he has, right? The game has to kind of slow down for him again.
Yep. And you know, one thing, we've got a great point in chat here from Brian 021. It doesn't help with how bad the tackles played. There was a, you know, early on, I think it was the first drive where, you know, he was under pressure right away and just had to get the ball out. And, you know, it ties into the theme that really since the bye week, the offensive line across the board, with the possible exception of Joel Bitonio, has been bad, certainly not to the standard that we've expected, as sort of spoiled Browns fans in the Bill Callahan, Kevin Stefanski era, but not, I wouldn't even say an average performance for an offensive line across the league in terms of pressures given up and especially the lack of push that they're getting in the interior in the run game. And I do think obviously the Ethan Postich injury plays a role here, but just generally Wyatt Teller injury, and he's playing hurt and not playing effectively. And then the tackles both seem to be struggling. Jake, I'm sure you'll dig into that on Tuesday on your show, but just your thoughts of like, what's your concern level of where the offensive line is at right now?
They're just not playing well enough. I don't know that I would call what they're doing bad necessarily. Mm-hmm. I went through this with Kyle on the Chalk Talk. I just don't think they're playing to the standard that we have come to know.
Right.
So I don't want to say, I really don't want to compared to their peers. We need to look at it. The last week and the week before, it was sometimes a running back issue, sometimes a quarterback issue, sometimes an offensive lineman issue. So it's a mixed bag, but they have been better before. And I'm worried about what I'm more worried about is it feels like the opponent is playing, living on the other half, the 1 yard on each half. Right. Mm-hmm. If you get 1 yard of movement, you're typically going to get 3, 4, 5 yard runs. If you get negative movement, you're typically going to get 0, 1, 2 yard runs. And what I'm noticing is that issue in the run game. And I'm noticing issues in pass protection where teams aren't blitzing and still being able to move people into the lap of the quarterback, which is a problem. Browns, if you watch, other than 95 for the most part, don't really end up getting somebody into the lap of the quarterback. You say a lot about Kyle Allen. He stinks. I get it. But, like, there wasn't much pressure in his face that often today. You know, they created a turnover off of a screen malfunction where he tried to sidearm it. But, like, the Browns collectively between their own pass rush and how the offensive line is playing right now, I'm concerned. Because if you watch Watson's throw, the interception, he threw it with a bit of a haste to it because a guy, I'm not sure where he came from, I'll have to break it down, had beat somebody inside and was in his face on the throw. Mm-hmm. So that's a reason that play happens, is a pressure ends up in someone's face, he can't throw it when he wants to, or because of the pressure coming, you have to do a little bit more guessing and anticipating on where someone's going to be. So I do think that if the Browns are going to get to their best version going into these last 6 weeks, the offensive line does need to be better. There's no doubt about it. So I'm not here to say they're bad, and I'm not saying you said that, Andrew, but they're not living up to what the dollars say they should.
Right.
Conklin's been bad for several weeks. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jed, I'm concerned. I mean, it's hard. I feel like there are times where the offensive tackles are expecting the quarterback to be in a different place in the pocket than he actually is. They're almost okay with the guy winning upfield, but then they let him go upfield, and the quarterback has hit the top of his drop and is right there. So there's a timing issue there with Jed that is worrisome to me. Mm-hmm. I still think Jed's pretty good. I just think that there's some stuff here they have to get ironed out. The tackles weren't good enough today. A couple times between the guard, center guard, they were a little leaky. Got to rewatch it. It's so hard to watch it in real time and have a great feel for it. But I think the thing that Watson will also have to get comfortable with is knowing where your guys struggle. Hey, I played with Laramie Tunzel for 3 years. I know he's typically an upfield guy. He's usually going to let a guy beat him upfield. So I know if I'm looking left, I got to step up and climb. I know that if I got Jed on my left, Jed's more of an inside guy that gets beat. So if I'm looking left, my propensity will be to dig out a little bit to the left of the pocket to allow him to recover and ride somebody past inside. So there's differences there. You have to get more comfortable with your quarterback, has to get very comfortable with his tackles, how they typically play, how they recover from typical beat situations. We'll see if that stuff works itself out. But today I thought pressure was something Watson didn't seem at ease with, where pressure and what his answers were to pressure. Eyes were dropping, and a little bit of that stuff is concerning in terms of we need him to know where his answers sit all the time, I think.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's my stance on it.
I'll be interested to see when you look at the all 22, Jake, and I'll, you know, glance at a good portion of it. But like, I'll be interested to see what if there was any effect on the offense of having Felton have to play the slot for a good portion of the game.
That's a great point.
Versus David Bell or just somebody that's been there for the last few weeks. The offense felt weird with him out there. I'm like, he was a healthy scratch like 2 weeks ago or last week, and then now he's playing like every snap in the slot. So, you know, I don't think that was ideal for today. Mm-hmm. Bell going out early in this game and may have also been just another reason things were a little bit weird today.
Yeah, that's a great point, Brad. And I think it does kind of segue into another concern coming out of this game, which is the Browns suffered a few injuries in this game, and one of the looks like one of the more severe ones was to a position of that they're already pretty much out of depth at, which is linebacker Sione Takitaki in the fourth quarter had to leave on the cart and was pretty emotional, according to reports in the tunnel. So it seems like his season might be over. To your point, Brad, David Bell left, I think, off after the first drive and was ruled out pretty quickly. So that seems like a pretty serious hand injury, which is Anthony Schwartz can tell you, you're going to need your hands when you play football. Speaking of Schwartz, he was evaluated for a concussion and did not return. Harrison Bryant, I think, returned. I'm pretty sure he did return, but he was in the tent for a bit being looked at for a wrist issue. And then Ronnie Harrison also left late in the game. So, you know, some of these, I don't know where they stand. The wide receiver depth is also concerning because, you know, if Bell and Schwartz miss time, now you're looking at to your point, Brad, your third wide receiver is probably Demetric Felton, and he's not, you know, he hasn't been playing, and he hasn't really been playing for a reason. I think he hasn't really impressed much. And then you've got Michael Woods, who's on the team. So that's four. And typically you're going to want at least five dressed for a game. So the Browns were in a position where if they had had one more injury to wide receiver here, they wouldn't have been able to run 11 personnel, which is a pretty rough spot to be in. The Takitaki injury also hurts because he had been a starting linebacker for this team over the past few weeks, had really come on as a much more permanent replacement and a better replacement for Anthony Walker than Jacob Phillips had been before Phillips had his injury. So the Browns now will have Tony Fields and Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah at linebacker. And if they need to play a third, I guess it would be Jordan Kanasich. I'm not sure. They might be starting a street player. Deion Jones. I forgot about Deion Jones. So they have some depth, but you know, Dakota Allen was, I think, claimed by the Broncos last week off the practice squad. So they might be in a position where somebody that's coming in off the street is joining this team, or I suppose Lawrence Carter would be the other name from the practice squad. But Jake, you know, Taki Taki has been a help in bringing a little more physicality to the defense in the run game the past few weeks.
Yeah, it sucks, not just for this season because he'd been playing well, but he's fighting for a next contract, and he had put some really good tape on the field to be more than just a 15 down linebacker. I hope there's enough there for some. I actually, what hope happens is Cleveland's able to maintain him and give him some sort of deal, because I think he fits really well. He's a good cultural fit. He plays hard. He'd started to come on and feel more comfortable in coverage. And I think that matters for him, because we know he can fit the run relatively well, but for him to be able to play, you know, sort of concepts, floating coverage match stuff was starting to improve. So that's a big bummer. I mean, obviously Harrison Bryan is there too. That's tough, because now I don't know what the severity of that is. When did he, I mean, I didn't even know Bryant left.
He came back. Okay. He left in the middle of a drive, I think in the third quarter. No, it must've been before halftime, because I was talking about it at halftime, but he did come back into the game.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. That's good, because we don't really have much depth at tight end, as you guys all know right now. And the Schwartz thing's tough. They're still trying to work him in and figure out something for him to do. The fumble was unfortunate. You never want to see that, especially when it gets punched out so bad. The thing's like an arcade machine, just a pinball machine just shooting out of there. You got to have spatial awareness. He hasn't been on a football field enough, though, in the years in Cleveland to know, right? Like,
right.
You just have to always be bracing, man. When you catch the thing in chaos, anybody's going to come through in this. Those pesky defensive backs. And that's the thing about the Texans. And I saw a good question up there from OG Philly about flood concepts and different things. They play a very unique cover. They play more cover two than anybody in the NFL. And that cover two it's tricky, especially tricky if you don't have a fear of speed. I don't know if you're a football nerd and you have access to all 22. If you do that somehow, go watch how deep the Texans safeties had to play to account for last week's Miami speed and how close they were to the line of scrimmage. But what it does is it takes away a lot of rhythm throws. It takes away the easy flat throws. It takes away some of your curl flat stuff that you like to make, you know, rhythm-based things. It's a unique defense. They do it. It's an old style of football. It's got a lot of vulnerabilities, but it's an older sort of mid-90s to mid-2000s type of coverage stuff that Lovie's doing. It's unique. They really don't give up a ton of chunk plays. They really funnel everything and keep it in front of you. So not every defense is like the Texans. They do some unique things. I don't think the Browns were all too comfortable giving Watson a bunch of five-step concepts in terms of flooding and different variations of that. I have to watch more of the tape, but in my opinion, it felt like they didn't necessarily respond to what the Texans were doing as well as I hoped they would. But again, we could see some things on tape. Guys are open. Watson missed them. I'm not sure. But yeah, to the original point, I think today, Andrew, what it does is brings into question a little bit of, well, not even, maybe not into question, but it does bring up the point of, you know, you dress nine offensive linemen. Well, if you lose tight ends, you got to play those guys. If you're a 13 person, you got to play them, right? Right. If you don't, if you lose Schwartz and you lose Bell, you're down to, you didn't bring Mike Woods with you. You're down to another issue at wide receiver. So there needs to be some added bodies here to make this, because there's some guys who are just catching air on the sideline. Like Dearness Johnson didn't play. Jerome Ford played today. Like those are just wasted bodies. Like we need receivers and keeping nine O-linemen is not the worst thing in the world to me. If you use them as your sixth O-lineman more often than any team in the NFL and you need backups, but like there are guys out there that are just sort of collecting paychecks and just standing on the sideline, and they need to have some other, like Mike Woods has to dress. They just have to have those guys. So I'll be interested to see if that shifts moving forward.
Yeah, they came into this game with five active wide receivers and two active tight ends, which is pretty light when you think about just what, you know, a lot of other games this year they've had at least five active wide receivers and three tight ends, sometimes four tight ends. So it's definitely some choices about where the roster numbers are right now, and it'll be interesting to see, as you said, how they adjust that to account for these injuries this week. The other question that I think I want to come back to, because, you know, it's probably worth talking about, you know, Kyle Allen, the Texans quarterback, was really bad today. And I know Ian's got a slide on his struggles. Brad brought this question up earlier, and I want to hear more about this from you, Brad. You know, is this a question an issue where we're giving Joe Woods and the defense credit, or are we saying, like, this guy just probably shouldn't be an NFL starter?
Well, he definitely shouldn't be an NFL starter. Let's just say that. I don't think so. You know, the defense struck me today as, like, I talked about it yesterday with Jake, like, yeah, they got to be opportunistic, and Kyle Allen's going to give you a chance to take the ball away. So that's kind of like what I asked for, and they provided that in like a big way. So I don't want to be too hard on the defense, but, like, Damian Pierce made, you know, the Browns players that are not physical enough, he exposed them, right? Like,
yes.
There are a lot of guys that could not protect. I mean, I know he's a very powerful runner, but, like, I'm just gonna say this, Ryan. Greedy Williams, I would be close to like cutting the dude today. Like, did you see him out there today?
Mm-hmm.
So on the free kick coverage, him and Schwartz come together to just let the guy run right between him, because neither one of them wants to tackle anybody. I mean, that's incredibly ridiculous. And then on the sideline at the end of the game, where he tries to hug him around the waist, he just stops playing and then just lets him run for 30 more yards. That's embarrassing. I don't know what's going on with him, but Greedy, you know, is about as avoids contact more than any, you know, professional football player I may have ever seen in my life. And I don't understand why he's on the field. I guess he's on the field at the end of the game there because they're up big, but still, disgraceful performance from him. And, you know, just will do anything to avoid contact, and it was terrible. Embarrassing a little bit, actually. So, Schwartz is the same way. I mean, Schwartz has done a decent job as the gunner on special teams, but then today he looks like he's lost in that area as well. As thought he would have improved there. You know, there are just some guys on this defense that make business decisions and aren't as physical as you want your defense to be. As a Cleveland Browns defense, I wanted them to have some edge and play with some attitude and want to hit some people and play through the whistle a little. And they just don't have that kind of edge on this defense. And I don't, and I worry that that comes from Joe Woods down, because, you know, Martin Emerson brings that edge. And that's why I keep writing about that, is I wish that the rest of the defense would take on that sort of moxie, right? An edge to it. But they just don't have an identity or personality on this defense that strikes me as really easy to root for. I mean, you know, the stuff that came to them easily, and I'm not going to kill them for that, but I don't want to, like, say that this was some terrific defensive performance. Let's be real. I mean, they just got a lot of easy stuff handed to them. So I am not – listen, I'm steady on this. I don't think
roles.
Joe –
listen to Brad be all negative after
– I know. It's great.
I'm just saying. I mean, I just don't – I mean, I don't think people should be like, oh, wow, the defense – I don't think Joe Woods should be able to save his job. I wrote this yesterday too. I mean, you fooled us. We got fooled last year. Don't get fooled again. Like, you know, it was bad at the beginning, good late. It's not good enough, right? Like, it's not good enough. He cost, you know, outcomes at the beginning of the season have extremely costly to the seasons where we are now and moving forward. So, you know, as far as Woods goes, in my mind, he should be gone no matter what the defense does the rest of the year.
Right.
And this performance today where they get – 4 goofy ass turnovers isn't going to be, you know, some life saving performance for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Texans win. We should just cover the stats real quick, Andrew, if you're okay with that.
Well, let me just say one more thing about this, because I think when Brad's points about the tackling are all very well made. And I think that the lack of physicality on defense is attention grabbing every week. And then the other thing that's happening now is the offensive line is struggling to run the ball at times and getting pushed around up front. And the overall impression that it creates is of a team that is physically very soft, because they're not dominating teams the way they used to be able to up front. and they're being dominated physically on defense. Now, obviously, next week they play the Bengals, which has kind of been their team that they can just push around whenever they want, and they certainly did it in Week 8. So we'll see if that happens again. But I think that there is a sort of concern culturally here that Brad raises that I think is absolutely valid, especially now that the offensive line isn't being as physically dominant as it used to be.
Yeah, I mean, Damian Pierce is third in the NFL in missed tackles forced, doing a really nice job despite having 20 less attempts than Nick Chubb and 46 less attempts than Josh Jacobs. So, I mean, he's really hard to tackle. Not to change the fact that this is not a good tackling team at all, but, like, that guy's an SOB, man. He's going to be a real problem for a while. Like, he's good. But, I get it. I definitely didn't think they dominated, but they're continuing to do a lot of the positive trend things that I like, which is keeping the run stuff respectable 2 weeks in a row. They are this year doing a nice job of forcing either turnover on downs near the goal line or field goals. They're doing a good job at that. This is not, and this is the version, I think, of what they really are, right, is they capitalize on some turnovers, they try to funnel the football, make you punt it a lot, and play a bend but don't break style. Now, there's the inverse of that, which is a super aggressive team, like, you know, used to be see from Baltimore before they changed DCs or DMPs type stuff. But that also has a lot of risk in it, too, because you can be beat over the top, and that part sucks. It's just whatever you prefer. I'm certainly not of the belief that Joe Woods needs to be here next year, but, you know, they gave up 283 total yards today, forced the Texans into 1 of 12 on third down, 4.6 yards a play, 82 rushing yards net as Pierce went for 73 yards on 18 carries. They gave up 201 passing yards on 40 attempts. I'm sure there were more dropbacks that the ball wasn't thrown or a penalty, turned over. They turned it over four times. Defense collected three turnovers. They forced seven punts, so nine punts and seven punts in the last 2 weeks. Those are positive steps. And then, they won the time of possession by 5 minutes. So I'm with you. It's the Texans are an absolute, I use the word in a tweet, farce. They're really, I don't know what way to describe them. It's not a very good defense, but the Browns defense did their job. They did what they were, you know, you control your own outcome, right? Got lucky on the first turnover that there was a busted coverage there where the tight end was wide open, but sort of flopped it up in the air. And that guy is going to find his way out of the NFL real quick if he does that too many times. So you get that turnover. A turnover on a quarterback sneak out of the end zone when you're backed up. I couldn't believe that one. And then obviously they did make a play. Winovich made a play to knock that ball in the air, and they created that final turnover. But they were good enough. I mean, they had to. We talked about the game. Don't lose the game, right? Don't lose the game. Don't lose the game. Don't lose the game. The offense gave it away twice. Yep. They didn't give up any touchdowns. And they did enough to win. It's still not a good defense. It's still not a defense I want to roll into 2023 with in terms of some of the personnel and some of the guys leading it. But they deserve a pat on the back. The old nice job today. On offense, the Browns, 14 first downs, 4 of 13 on third down. They went for 304 net yards, 5 yards of play. 174 rushing. Nick led with 80 yards on 17 carries. Kareem went 9 for 56. Watson 7 for 21. They only threw for 130 net. Watson 12 of 22, 131, and one interception. 6 penalties for Cleveland to 5 for the Texans. 6 punts for Cleveland to 7. Cleveland scored 3 touchdowns, all of the defensive or special teams variety. So shout out to you if you got them on fantasy this week.
Yeah.
For that nice score bump. Both teams went 2 for 2 on field goals. Cleveland 32 minutes of possession to 27 for Houston. Kyle Allen 20 of 39, 201, a touchdown, 2 picks. B. Jordan, is that Brevin? I'm not sure. Okay, got that right. Lucky guess. 4 for 46 to lead the receivers on the side of Houston. Chris Moore 3 for 46. Nico Collins 3 for 35 and a touchdown. Damian Pierce 3 for 22. Jordan Akins 3 for 21. Philip Dorsett, 2 for 18. Dari Agumbawale, it's a fun last name, 2 for 13 on the Brown side. Donovan Peoples-Jones, 3 for 44. Cooper leads all receivers and targets. He was targeted 9 times but only yielded 4 for 40. Kareem Hunt, 2 catches, 18 yards. Schwartz, 1 for 12 on the fumble. Farrell Brown, 1 for 11. Harrison Bryant, 1 for 6. Hey, shout out Harrison Bryant, first career rush, 8 yards, first down. Like that little wrinkle. Taki led all tacklers with 9 on the defense. 6 for Ward, 6 for Winfrey, 5 for JOK. No sacks recorded by the Browns. A John Johnson interception, a Tony Fields interception. And then a fumble recovery by Tony Fields, and Denzel Ward, obviously the scoop and score touchdown on the side of the Texans. Jalen Petrie had 16 tackles. Not good when your safety has 16 tackles. Just me speaking on that one. Kirksey, what up, Kirko? 7 tackles. Christian Harris, the rookie, had 6. Roy Lopez, that's not a sitcom actor on ABC. That's a defensive tackle for the Texans. He had 5 tackles. Jalen Petrie had 1 catch for 29 yards. Kyle Allen recovered one of his own fumbles. Just kind of noted here at the bottom. Desmond King had a recovery of a fumble, also lost one. And then Tavier Thomas forced a fumble. I think, is he the one who punched that football out? Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go. Redemption for him. Sweet redemption. Yep. So those are the stats. There was a football game played today that was very uneventful, and it felt very much Browns-Texans. It was a weird game. It's a weird game.
Yep.
MJ Stewart getting into Sean Watson's face, if you didn't notice that. Yeah.
Saw that. Wonder what was said there. Probably like, how's the family doing?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Maybe restaurant recommendations since they switched. Yeah. They switched
dinner
cities.
Later tonight? So,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They're probably friends. So let's spin this forward then and talk about next week, because the Bengals are up 14-3 on the Chiefs. They're playing really, really good ball right now with Ja'Marr Chase coming back as well. The Browns have an immense task ahead of them. The team that played today is not beating the Bengals probably 95 times out of 100, next week in Cincinnati. The question is, does that team show up, or is this the team that absolutely owned the Bengals in week 8 show up on Sunday in Cincinnati? And I think that's, you know, it's going to be every game now that it's going to come down to that. Right. But that's where we are a week from now in Cincinnati. Brad, what do you think about what this team has to get done between now and then?
Listen, you know, they'd have to get a lot done, but we talk, you know, I'm going to stick with this though. This game was weird in the way that it was played, but it was weird coming in too. So
totally.
I'm going to take this game and it's an outlier and just pull it out of the rest and just set it aside. Like Watson's debut game, getting reacclimated, knocking off the rust, the injury, you know, you got Felton out there for the whole game. You got weird stuff happening on defense, special teams. Your first touchdown is a punt return, which we didn't mention. Great return by Donovan Peoples-Jones.
Amazing.
So, you know, just weird stuff happened in this game. It's an outlier. Yes, the game needs to slow down for him. Hopefully today goes towards that and they can come out next week. They've had the Bengals number. They match up well with them defensively. So hopefully they can get these guys back healthy. And if you stop or slow Joe Mixon, they will make themselves one-dimensional. I think the Browns corners really like the matchup against the Bengals, and the Bengals will be looking to, you know, show that that was an aberration last time. So, you know, no Chase, but last time. But, you know, they've had this little rivalry going since the offseason when they were on the Pivot podcast or whatever. So, yeah, this will be a monster game, and it'll be a lot of fun. And but I think that the Browns just kind of match up really well with the Bengals, so it'll be about getting Watson right for this one. Yeah, and it should be game planned and schemed up to go beat them.
Patrick Mahomes is a wizard. This is ridiculous. I think the thing that I would hope, as I sit here, the division to me is out the window. I guess the Ravens could lose some games unexpectedly at the end of the year. If Lamar's knees injury cost him a couple weeks, maybe you would need Kansas City, who's down 14-3, to come back and win this game. To me, you're looking at a wild card. So, like, what I would like is Cincinnati to win an emotional game here and then sort of sleepwalk through a next Sunday 1 o'clock game, right? I don't know, man. It is hard to tell how the NFL is going to show up week to week. I have no idea. It's the weirdest league this year where you never know when a team's going to show up, when they aren't. And the thing I think that is going to benefit Watson, I'm going to be very careful with this moving forward, but like, there was a lot of pent-up thought and emotion to returning to Houston. A lot of personal feelings. There's an entire suite up there with his family, and I'm talking 30 people. And now it's just play ball. Now it's go to just another week. Let's get ready for the Bengals and play ball. And hopefully there's a little bit of that settling in, because they need him to be better. They need him to be a lot better if they're going to – oh, my goodness. If they're going to if they're going to beat Cincinnati, because Cincinnati does want some revenge. There, Brad, you're talking about the Browns talked a lot in the offseason. The Browns talked, DBs talked a lot after winning the was it a Monday night game? Or was it a Thursday
sure
night
was.
Game? It was a Monday night game. They talked a lot after that one. I think that the Joe Burrow and the receivers here are going to be really hungry to prove their point. And that part of it is going to be interesting, but the Browns have to get it. They have to win this game in Cincinnati. It is everything for their season to win these next two division games. They've put themselves in that position. So we will see.
But because they won today, the next one feels big. It still feels big, right?
Right.
That's kind of what was the point coming in. You just make it 1 week at a time, and it still feels like it matters this week. So
I think that's
the advantage to all of this. Yeah.
You can win. You got to win, and you got to win ugly games, and not all games are going to be pretty, but you give yourself a chance against Cincy next week, and you can muck it up and make that one ugly and create some turnovers like they did the last time these two played. You got a chance. You always got a chance, man. So in the NFL, especially, like I said, if Lamar's knee is a problem and you win this one, you go to Baltimore and you got a chance, man. So it's all right in front of them.
Yeah, it's strange because knowing that with those next two games being at Cincinnati and then Baltimore at home, you kind of have a chance to build some momentum. I expected, more of a sense of momentum coming out of this game. It's hard to take much from this. I think, Brad, to your point, this feels like very much a one-off, right? That this was a one game it almost feels like it doesn't have much of an indicator for the rest of the season. And so we'll just, probably talk ourselves into being excited all over again by next Sunday, but not carrying a lot of excitement out of this game, certainly because of just how inconsistent the offense was really across the board, not just Watson, but the running game and every piece of the operation on offense was pretty rough. So any closing thoughts, Brad, in terms of what you take away from this one as we start to think about next week and the rest of the season, maybe even looking into 2023?
No, I mean, I think this is what, like we said, this was in the realm of outcomes. I'm not discouraged by what I saw today at all. I think that it was kind of to be expected that he would have to get this rust off at some point, and he was going to have bad games at some point. They've won two in a row as the, I can't read it that far. My eyes are terrible, but as the person in chat is saying.
Yeah, Pat Shea, no, won two in a row.
Yeah, so thank you. Yeah, they've won two in a row, and that's big for this team. And in this game, regardless of what happens today in this this game versus the Chiefs will appear and seem really big for the Browns and their fan base this week. So it should be treated that way, and you'll get Watson game two. It should be improved, and I think those are all really good things. As far as the defense, I am questioning their physicality, I guess, and that's putting it in a nice way. I don't want to call them soft or anything, right? But, I'm questioning certain players' physicality on that defense. And, I would like to see, to Jake's point, they have done a good job in the red zone. They have held teams to field goals multiple weeks in a row now, and that keeps you in games. So there's a couple good things it's not all bad coming out of this. They're all good. So treat it as an outlier. Move on from it. Next week's a big game. Get ready. And I think that by the time next week comes around, you have the chance of Watson going out there and playing like your star quarterback. So we'll see what happens.
I think that there is I'm sorry, that was a really nice catch, but it was out of bounds. I think there is a lot of positive momentum for the specials and defense. I do think there is momentum there. I really do. I mean, I know, again, I've not changed from the steadfast stance I've had about wanting a different voice and all that, but they are doing encouraging things on defense, and they are doing encouraging things in the special teams unit. Cade York, really comfortable looking today. Maybe that guy needs a dome, absolute money today. But he looked comfortable, right? Looked comfortable. So that's positive. It is, again, Texans are – we don't want to play – who wants to play the Texans right now?
Nobody.
It's just a sleeper game. Go watch every team that's played them recently. It's a sleeper game. They have – NFL talent out there, the guys that are fighting and hungry and playing hard, but nothing about playing them gets you amped up. So it's just like, it's a game that everybody sleepwalks through on the schedule. And the Texans have been very nice about handing games to the opponent, as we saw today. Because go back and, like I said, the Dolphins were 30-0, but they got like their offense wasn't very good. Tua graded in the low 70s. They did a decent job. They just gave away the football. And so, you know, I'm not worried about the offense altogether all too much. I think, like I said, they wanted to run it a lot. Between Nick and Kareem, they ran it for 150, so it wasn't that bad. Mm-hmm. You know, the throwing stuff was rough, but I do think they basically didn't throw after the first two drives of the second half. So there was really not a four full quarters of throwing the football going on there. I'm not that down on the all. I think they could still be fine. Like I said, still be fine. But I do think you should be encouraged about the way the defense has been playing, and I do think you should be encouraged about the way the special teams have been contributing, and Kate York taking some really good steps today. So, yeah, it's a win. Winning in the NFL, it's a bitch. It's hard. So they won. They're 5-7. Let's see them take it another week and get to 6-7. Get David Njoku back for a huge division game. Like, it's all right there, man. It's all right there. They always play Joe Burrow tough. They always play these guys tough. Let's go to Cincinnati, put the chips on the table, and see what happens. So you should be excited. It's a victory Monday coming up for you tomorrow. Watson's back. They're moving forward. Who knows where it goes, man? Who knows where it goes? That's the exciting part, is it's not over. It's not over. They got a lot of opportunity in front of them.
Yeah.
All right. That's great. I appreciate the optimism, fellas. We will be back tomorrow night, as Jake mentioned, for a Victory Monday Rewind. Mike Keefe and Cody Sook and Fred Greetham will be there to probably say a lot of the same things that we've said, but worse than what we've done. And then on Tuesday night, Jake will have the Chalk Talk at 7, Garage Beers at 9, OBR Weekly on Wednesday at 7, and then I'll be back on Thursday with Cody to preview next weekend's game in Cincinnati. So for Brad Ward, for Jake Burns, I'm Andrew Spade. Thank you all for joining us, hanging out in the chat with us. The Browns win 27-14, improved to 5-7, and Deshaun Watson's first game back. That'll do it for us. Go Browns.
Go Browns.
The hit Paramount Plus original docuseries returns.
The last time I saw Max, he looked at us laughing, and then everything changed in a blink of an eye.
My feeling as a detective is that he was murdered.
Yahoo Entertainment calls it a spine-chilling docuseries showcasing real-life tragedies.
What about when your child who went missing?
We need to know the truth.
Never seen again. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.